The commission is back in session, and we are on item 10, public comment. This is your opportunity to comment on items that are not on the agenda, issues that are of concern to you that you wish to bring to the attention of the commission. Who wishes to be heard today? Mr. Amory, come on up. Afternoon.
Hi, I'm Mr. Amory with Amory Seafood in downtown Hampton. I'm here on behalf of the offshore trawl industry. We have a flounder fishery that's going to open March 4th, and right now we have it at a 10,000-pound limit per trip. We'd like to ask the commission to increase that to a 12,500-pound limit for the spring fishery.
So you're asking for a public hearing in February?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything else on your mind? Yes. All right. Rob, you have any comments on that?
No, Mr. Amory has spoken to several of us on staff, and I know that over the years the commission has always been willing to help industry with these types of marketing strategies and changes. So this would be another time. And I also spoke to Mr. Amory just a minute ago. It could be a situation that you might get two periods of harvest, but at the same time, the season's not starting till March the 4th. So even that means that it will be spread out at least into pretty close to Easter.
Main thing is you stay within quota.
Right.
Really doesn't matter. I mean, the trip limit is sort of a marketing issue. Any idea where Jersey and Carolina will be during that time frame?
Carolina hasn't decided what they're going to do for February yet, but they hope to use most of their quota by the end of February, which would just leave us open.
Okay. Well, that's
March.
Good.
Okay. Jersey will be open for a 3,000-pound limit once a week in March.
Okay. That's helpful. Rick?
Mr. Chairman, do you need a motion to consider a request for public hearing?
I think that would be in order.
Mr. Chairman, I would offer a motion that we add a public hearing to the February agenda to include a review of the summer flounder trip limit for the commercial fishery.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Palmer. Any discussion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the hearing is approved. See you in February.
Yes, sir.
Any other public comment? Mr. Forrest?
Good afternoon. My name is John Forrest. I'm a commercial fisherman. Currently fishing out of Rudy Inlet gill netting. And this issue just recently came to my attention, but we've been really having difficulty selling the fish lately. And so I can sell fish at Juan G's Fish Company, but I have a hard time. The only way to get them over there where I'm at, where I've tied the boat up, I can't unload the fish. So I've been unloading at Owl Creek, Owl's Creek Boat Ramp, which I've done for 35 years or more. But there's a sign over there on the thing now that says there's no commercial use of those piers without a special permit. So the weekend that I found out about that, I got a limited permission to do it, and I called the guy. Mike Parkman is in charge of that. I don't have his phone number with me. So I talked to him, and he said they're after the kayak boat operators because they're like monopolizing the use of the facilities at Owls Creek. But they're going after the commercial fishermen, too, because they haven't done it yet. But they're going to try and stop us from unloading fish there or even putting your boat in the water. And it was always – I talked to a few people, and my understanding was that those public boat ramps are for mixed use, for commercial boats and recreational boats. And we never had a problem before, but I know the state paid for it, and I know the federal government paid for part of that, too, because they built those ramps for the SEAL team. The new and improved ramps at Alice Creek Marina, our boat ramp. And what I'm wondering is there any possible way? Right now, the only way you can get your fish picked up there is by Spot's Fish Company. Mm-hmm. And he's not buying. He's cut it down to 3 days a week, and almost nobody's going because the price has gone down, too. But, I mean, for years, I took my boat down there on the trailer every single day. I'm tied up in a marina now. It's Big Sam's. I don't know if you all know where that is. But it's a restaurant. They won't let you unload fish there into the parking lot of the restaurant. it looks to me like there's room at Owls Creek to have a small commercial unloading ramp just for commercial fishermen, not to tie up or moor or anything, but it needs to be big enough. The biggest boats in there are probably about 45 feet, and it needs to have a boom with a mast so you can, you know, pick the barrels out of the boat. That's the biggest problem, is because if you try and unload the boat at low tide, it's to the pier, you're looking 2 or 3 feet up over your head, and what I've had to do is take the fish and throw them up on the pier, then climb out of the boat, get in the pier, throw them in a barrel, and then put them in the pickup truck, which is handling the fish 3 or 4 times. It's a huge amount of work. I've done it in the past, but I'm getting older now, and it's tough. But that's the only way to sell fish right now, is to do that. And the city, they've been down there watching me, and they haven't stopped me or said I can't do it yet. But the way they're talking, they're going to do that. They're going to restrict the use to only recreational use. And I'm wondering if there's anything that the Marine Resources Commission can do about this, or in some way encourage the city of Virginia Beach to. I'm sure there were agreements in the past that they had to let us use it too.
Staff know anything about this? Any other details?
Well, a question. I know a little bit about that ramp. And didn't the state fund the ramp, give the city a certain amount of money, if not the total amount, for that ramp? Now, what connectivity that has with the situation right here, I don't know. But I think that the state gave a fairly significant amount of money excuse me, for the construction of that ramp.
I know that when they built most of the marine.
This is in Rudy Inlet.
Rudy Inlet, right.
Yeah, I don't think we did spend license monies on that, did we?
We can check with ARPAC, see what we have from the fund, and if we did fund it, we would have an agreement.
Absolutely.
We have to pull all that information.
I know the ramp there in Lynn Haven,
mm-hmm.
That one we spent quite a bit of money on, and obviously in that case we would have some say, but John will look into this and see, you know.
We may have not funded it.
I suspect we don't have any authority there, but if we do, we'll certainly make your concerns. I mean, you're not the only fisherman down there. What are all the other fishermen going to do?
So far, they're just tied up, not working.
Yeah, but that's going to change. There are going to be other years when they're going to have to use some facility there.
Well, if you only have one fish buyer you can sell to, that's monopoly power for the fish buyer.
So. Right. We will look into it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Jones.
Yes, sir.
Welcome. We don't see you over here too often.
I try to stay on the other side.
None taken.
Good afternoon. I'm Hank Jones. I'm from the Eastern Shore, clam seed farmer. In 2000-ish or so, there was a dispute over the importation of clam seed from out of state, and also moving product from state to state up and down the coast and so forth. And we were concerned over importing diseases or problems from other places. And there was a procedure put in place that anything that crossed state lines back and forth seed-wise or broodstock-wise should be tested. I think that was a good thing. I think it is a good thing today. But the issue that we have then, or that we have now, is different than the issue then. Then VIMS would test our products free. And that was all well and good and great, but as times change and things get worse, you have to pay. Well, VIMS was charging $600 for a couple of years and then backed off of that. Ryan Carnegie has been my contact point at VIMS. And he told me this year to get product tested was $1,400, $1,382 to be exact, or $1,380. Memory's bad, $1,400 range figures. I thought that was quite a sum, and I started looking into other ways to have them tested in other labs. Florida will test your product going into the state, broodstock coming from here going down. They'll test that for $282. Susan Smithson, who was the head of pathology at Woods Hole, has opened a for-profit lab in New York. She'll check them for $1,080. Now, it seems to me to be kind of strange that somebody has a for-profit lab will do it for under $1,100 when they have to have almost $1,400 here in state. $300 is a lot of money. $1,400 is a terrible amount of money. If you have to check two couple grains of broodstock going down, three or four sessions of seed coming up, it's real easy to go to $10,000. That's a lot of money. And the issue, another issue is, it's $1,400 whether you're testing a group of 25,000, somebody just trying to get into the business and buying some seed and bringing them in, or 25 million. Make any difference. That set group is the same money. And it's hard on young people trying to get started. It's causing people to go under the radar, which is not good. Not good at all. I know that money is tight. Nothing runs for free anymore. But I didn't know. I just wanted to make the commission aware of this when they make their regulations to test. We need to test. We've got to test, I think. And we probably need more testing. But at what expense? And I don't know what y'all can do, who you can talk to, or what the situation would be. I think that if you test on with an out-of-state lab, what kind of standards do they use? What kind of procedures are they using? Does it meet what needs to be done? The way that this really ought to be done, in my mind, is done by an in-state facility doing it the way that you folks and staff recommends, you know, so that it's done properly. It needs to be done right, and we don't need to cut corners.
One thing you said that's certainly got my attention is if the fee is so high that it's causing folks to go undercover and avoid the testing, that obviously would be a concern. I think everyone sitting up here.
I think it's a big concern. I really do. Scares me to death.
Sort of like a dump fee if you have too much to charge.
Exactly.
Your
you start
you don't
dumping
even
the trash.
It over the side.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. At a certain point where the fee itself is a liability to compliance.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Very much so.
Lyle, do you have anything you could report on this? Can you come up?
Lyle Varnell, VIMS Office of Research and Advisory Services. We share your concern on the latter point there that you were talking about. From Mr. Jones's concern, let me give you a little bit of history here. We are, of course, mandated through 36 sections of the Virginia Code to be the scientific advisors to the state. We've always been a very big proponent and supporter, promoter, developer of shellfish industry, private sector. We have, for many years, done what we can to support that on the state's dime. Things changed a few years ago. VIMS has lost $6 million of permanent general fund money. When Mr. Jones says we went to $600, we were able to take, because of the importance of it, to take some monies from other areas in general fund monies, other areas of VIMS, and put it to where we could partially do that. Well, then we got other cuts, so we can't do that anymore. But I can assure you right now, we went through a very rigorous exercise to set those prices. We make no profit. It is specifically for equipment, supplies, and down to the minute time for a lab technician to do this. So what other states are doing, what they're charging, there's many variations of economics, but this is basic economics. And I can assure you, Mr. Jones, everyone else, we make no profit on this. And it's not something that we did because we wanted to do, something that we had to do because of state fund cuts.
How many samples of this nature does VIMS handle in a year?
I wish I could answer that. I mean, I think it depends on the, you know, the market running like that. But it's not insignificant at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very important exercise, and we understand that. And that's why we put the importance on it and try to take money from other places to support that when we could.
I think we all agree that testing is very important. I just worry about Mr. Jones' point that, you know, people are now going to be in a position where they try to avoid testing altogether, just to save those kind of bucks.
Record, I'll later reiterate, and we have that same concern.
You know, if VIMS were to notice suddenly some decline in the amount of testing you're doing, it would be worthy of some investigation. Are people going elsewhere? Are they going to New York where the fee is cheaper? Or have they convinced Florida to handle stuff going out of state? Or
keep pretty good records. We could answer that question.
Yeah. That, if you could keep us apprised of that, I think that would be helpful. And, Mr. Plummer?
I just had a question on the point that Mr. Jones raised about it not being the variation on the numbers being so great, that if it's the same charge for a small number of seed being tested versus multiple times that many times that is that accurate, or how is that, do you know if how that is done exactly?
Sir, the sample is 60 claims and they have to use the same amount of product to check them. You have to take a sample of 60 claims whether you're testing a overall value of 5,000 500,000 or 5 million. That has been my experience in the past. That's still
a difficult. Well, I can't answer your question because I'm not the person. I would be glad to have Dr. Carnegie come and explain the program to you should you want that at some time. But, you know, I know Florida had, you know, I'm not sure what level they are now. Their state at one time did the same thing we were allowed to do here for funds. Maybe there's a different economics from state versus the universities versus private down there. That's but I can assure you, not that we had to look anywhere. We didn't look anywhere else. We said, what's the minimum that we can charge for this? And that's what we do.
Well, I do know that VMRC spends $50,000 a year, I think, in general funds to VIMS for aquaculture studies or development.
Yes.
And I don't know what exactly that money's used for.
Well, I can't break it down for you to the penny on everything this year. It's different for different years what is necessary and what's needed. We can also do that for you also, Jack, if you'd like, Commission.
It'd be helpful.
Certainly.
Let me clarify one point. The Florida deal was the Florida Extension Service testing clams coming in state.
Right.
That was only coming in.
Right.
My wife, I didn't ask her because she didn't act like she was really interested.
Mm-hmm.
She told me to go to my state.
Right. Right. We appreciate you bringing this to our attention. I think I'll have some further dialogue with Lyle and Dr. Wells and Dr. Carnegie, and can't promise you anything at all, but it's on our radar, and we'll look into it further.
I appreciate it.
Well, we'd love to go back to the old system, and we would do that in a heartbeat.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Yes, it has. And that's not the only place we've had to cut within VIMS, but that's for another day.
Thank you. Thank you,
Lyle.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Any further public comment? Seeing none, we're going to move on.